Hi, and welcome to the Words of Encouragement podcast, a podcast of love, hope, inspiration, and encouragement using the Word of God for people from all walks of life. And of course, I'm your host, Arlena. Welcome everyone, and thank you once again for joining me on another episode of the Words of Encouragement podcast. I pray that each and every one of you are in the best of health, best of strength, and most importantly, in the best of spirits. And as always, before beginning, I like to start by giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to Father God Almighty, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, because without them, I am nothing. I'm not able to do anything. But because of Christ Jesus and what He has done on the cross, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, including this podcast, as well as this podcast episode, as well as this podcast series. And as always, I'd like to take some time out to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening, you know, whether you hit play or download, for sharing, etc. I truly appreciate it, even to those that just stopped by to see what I'm doing. Thank you, and God bless you. Where I am at, the temperature is currently 80 degrees. And it's nighttime, so there we go. The time is currently 9:24 p.m., just in case you were interested. And I am currently sipping on a cup of water. Just had a nice bowl of Caribbean cornmeal porridge. I didn't feel like eating anything heavy. Well, truthfully speaking, I was very tired. Yesterday, I tried to record this episode, and yeah, after I ate dinner, I made my cup of tea. Boy, and I came and I sat down in front of the computer. I was geared up, and I don't know what I did. The next thing I knew when I opened my eyes, it was 2 hours later, and I had not recorded one thing. So there you go. Age. But anyway. So yes. That's what's in my cup currently. It's just water. The name and title of today's episode is Quiet Time with the Lord. And this is part two. It's Quiet Time with the Lord. And of course, it's my favorite Bible study methods. And this is part two from the Quiet Time with the Lord series. And this is episode number 101. Oh boy, I'm so used to 00 whatever, but now it's 101. Yes, to God be all honor and all glory. So yeah, so just sit back, relax, grab yourself your favorite hot or ice cold beverage, depending on where you're at, and you can join me in a few minutes as we get started. So see you in a few. Are you in need of some encouragement? You know, something to give you a little pick-me-up during the day or evening. Well, why not check out the Nuggets of Thankfulness podcast featured on Spreaker.com, Podomatic, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts can be heard. You are listening to the Words of Encouragement podcast with yours truly, Arlena. Stay tuned. Okay, so welcome back. And by the way, today's episode and actually this entire series, which is the Quiet Time with the Lord series, is based on Psalm 46 verses 10, which reads, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." So today, as promised, I am going to share with you a few of my favorite Bible study methods that I use. Now, there are a variety of different Bible study methods out there. Trust me, there are so many that it's not even funny. In other words, what I'm trying to say is there's no excuse for us as believers not to be able to get in to the Word of God. You have so many wonderful different studies out there, from beginners to intermediate to more advanced, but either way, there is something out there for everyone, and definitely something to help you to get into the Word. Now, let's just be real. Every day, you're not going to be able to do a deep dive Bible study, but on the weekends, when you have some time, you might be able to, or maybe in the evenings after work, who knows, or maybe after you put the baby to sleep, because depending, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you have kids. And no, I don't have kids, but trust me, I had some godchildren, and Lord, let me tell you, they were just as good as my kids. And yeah, so trust me, I do know. So it just depends, but there's something out there for everyone, no matter what level or time that you have. There's no excuse for us not to get into the Word of God. And especially with everything that is going on today, you definitely want to. You want to. Okay, so let's get into this thing. So today, I will be sharing with you 7 of my favorites. And actually, there's 2 others I will explain a little later after I have finished with the first 7 that I have listed here. I discovered 2 more. Not that I discovered them, I knew about them, and I just wanted to try them, and I did try them, and I love them. So I will tell you what those are when I'm finished with these 7. So let's go. So the first one up is soap. And I know you're thinking to yourself, especially if you are not familiar with this, you're like, soap? What do you mean soap? No, not Dove, not Dial, no, not the soap, you know, that you use to take a shower, no. This is actually an acronym Bible study method. Now, this is a great method that you can do daily. It takes about maybe 15, 20 minutes, and you can get a little bit of that word in you, you know, especially before you leave your house, or maybe before you call it a night, whatever. Or maybe during your lunch break. And like I said before, it's an acronym Bible study method. Now, there are a variety of acronym Bible study methods. There's a lot of them I don't do, but I do love the soap. Now, I discovered the soap method in 2017, and I fell in love with it, and it's a method that I've been using to this day. Now, I like to switch up my Bible studies doing different methods. So I'm going to give you the breakdown as to what this SOAP acronym really means, for those that might not know. For those that don't know, the SOAP method is, the S stands for scripture. So basically, you would choose your scripture. If you have scriptures that you like and you want to choose your own scripture, go right ahead. Or you can simply, you know, choose your scripture if you're doing a daily chapter reading and something just sticks out and you want to select that particular scripture that just stuck out at you, you can use that. Or you can use a scripture from your devotional, either way. Or if you want to use a topical scripture, you just either look at the back of your Bible and you pull out one of the topics and find a scripture and you use it. But either way, you use a scripture. You can use at least up to 2 scriptures. The O stands for observation. So with the S, which is the scripture, you would write down your scripture, whatever your scripture is, if it's one verse or two verses, or if you want to do three, depending on how short they are. And the O now is, it stands for observation. And observation means, like, what is it about this verse that sticks out? What do you observe? What do you see, in other words? What speaks to you? What stands out? Or what is God trying to say to you through this particular scripture verse? Then you have the A, which is for application. And the question is here is, how can you apply that particular scripture to your life? Because that's what the Bible is. We should be applying God's word to our life daily. So basically, you're going to take that very same scripture, however way you came by your scripture, whether you chose it on your own, whether it stuck out during a Bible reading, during, you know, your Bible reading during the day, a devotional, or you're doing it from a Bible reading plan, whatever the case is, you are going to apply, like, you're going to write down how it applies to you or how you can apply it to your life. Now, the P stands for prayer. And you just write out a short prayer based on the scripture or scriptures of your choice. Now, before moving on to the other six, I just want to share real quickly with you some other acronym Bible study methods. Now, I have not used the others. I'm fine with the SOAP. The first one is SOAK. So it's S-O-A-K. And the first three letters of SOAP is the same as the first three letters as SOAK. The only difference is, well, the K, it's not necessarily different. It's just a P over a K. So it's scripture, observation, application. And then, of course, the P in SOAP is for, you know, prayer. You say a prayer, or either write out a prayer. Well, the K in SOAK is kneeling in prayer. Then you have the WORD, the W-O-R-D acronym Bible study method. And what it stands for, the W stands for write. So write, in other words, the scripture. O, observation, observe. What do you observe about that particular scripture or scriptures? Then the R is reflect. And then the D is to declare. So I guess you would just declare whatever that scripture is saying. You just declare it, like, decree and declare, I shall live and not. I'm just giving a reference. I decree and declare, I shall live and not die. Whatever the scripture is saying, you declare whatever it is that is speaking to you pertaining to that particular verse. You just declare it. So that's the word. And then you have REAP, which is R-E-A-P. The R is for reference. The E is for explore. The A is for application or apply. And then, of course, the P is for prayer. And then you have the apple. Now, the apple is one that I discovered in 2020, but I've never used it. And the apple is, the A stands for attributes of God. So when you choose your verse, you would look for the attribute, whatever that attribute of God that is in that verse, attribute or attributes that is in that particular verse or verses. You would, I guess, list that. The P is for the promises of God. So you would list the promises of God in that particular scripture. And then the other P is the principles of life. The L stands for lesson learned. So you would write whatever the lesson is that you learned. And then the E stands for example or examples to follow. So you would just write down what example or examples that stuck out for you to follow. So that's some of the acronym Bible study methods in addition to the SOAP method that I just shared with you. Now, up next is scripture mapping. Now, I discovered scripture mapping in 2020. I don't have much time to do scripture mapping, but it's something that I very much love to do when I do get the chance. And what this is a very engaging and real fun method that really helps you to break down your chosen scripture. And this is basically choosing a scripture. It can be from, like I said before, your daily devotional reading, your daily Bible reading, or something that just sticks out, etc. However you come by your verse, that's between you and the Lord. Or if the Lord gives you a verse, you choose your verse. Now, even though it is very engaging and it requires a little bit of digging, it is really a very satisfying Bible study method. And one can really and truly, you can really get quite a bit out of that one verse by simply using the verse mapping method. You can choose, you know, one or either two scriptures and you just dissect them. Believe me, I enjoy doing this. And there are various videos and blogs out there, blog posts out there that can teach you just how to do these or this particular Bible study method, which is the scripture mapping. So up next is the verse mapping. I also discovered in 2020. I love verse mapping. In 2020, I didn't do too much of it because I was busy at that time. I was doing a scripture writing plan, a daily scripture writing plan, which I turned into a scripture writing soap plan. So I did not have much time to do much verse mapping. This year, I've been doing quite a bit more, but I don't get a chance to do it as much as I would like to because I'm busy doing other methods. But it's a great Bible study method. It really, really is. And what this is kind of almost like the scripture mapping, but it's a little more in-depth. And it is very enjoyable with lots of knowledge as well. And this method kind of breaks down each verse and, you know, you getting to the original meaning of the verse or chapter. Now, this method also helps you to get the cultural background and historical context and word definitions using either a Bible dictionary or a regular dictionary to define certain words. Now, there are certain words that are in scripture that, yes, you can find in a regular English dictionary. But if you have a Bible dictionary, that's something you should get. And I have an episode coming up on some Bible study tools that I will be sharing as well. Also, a good Bible dictionary is a great tool. If you don't have one, you can always, you know, use one that is online, because oftentimes a great online Bible study tool is the Blue Letter Bible app. Now, there are others. There are eSword, I think Bible Gateway, of course, I know. But to me, I've never used eSword, so I can't say. But I've heard some great things about it. I use the Blue Letter Bible app, and it ain't broke, so I ain't trying to fix it. And basically, it has like an interlinear breakdown of what each word more or less means. Because a word can mean something, yeah, that sounds normal in regular English. But when you use the interlinear breakdown, it'll give you the Hebrew, the original Hebrew or Greek word. And you get the original translation or definition of what the word really means. So sometimes a regular word, yes, that you can find in a regular Merriam-Webster or whatever other dictionary there are out there, In a Bible dictionary, it can be a little different, especially if you're breaking it down, where you're seeing what it means based on the Greek or the Hebrew translation. Let me tell you, it is such a game changer. It truly is, but that's like a more advanced type of study. But it's really a game changer. It helps you really to understand the context of the Bible on an even more deeper level. It's really, really awesome. It truly, truly is awesome. And like I said, you'll need either a Bible dictionary, or you can use just a regular dictionary to define certain words, as well as using other translations to help you to see what is being said. When you, like, say for instance, if you were to take, like, for most people, they don't like the King James Version. I have no problem with it, because it's one of the closest translation to the Greek and Hebrew translation of the Bible. And then, of course, I really love the New King James Version, because it translates word for word without any missing verses, like some of these other Bibles. But it does it where certain words, it'll kind of translate it in a more modernized English way. But yeah, my preference is King James, New King James Version. I like those two. And if I have to sometimes use another translation, I do like the ESV, but it's not something that I use all the time. I mainly am in my New King James Version Bible. But anyway, and also too, with the Blue Letter Bible, you can put two translations next to each other. So you can, I always keep up the King James Version as the original. And then as my parallel, I use the New King James Version. And if I need to change a parallel from time to time, because maybe I want to see what a CSB or a ESV says, or a NLT, I will switch it then. And then I switch right back to my New King James Version. So that's also a great, great, great Bible study method, which is the verse mapping. And man, it's really good. It's really good. And when you're finished doing it, you walk away dissecting that particular verse or verses. Normally you would use one verse. If it's really short, you could use two. And let me tell you, you walk away really with some really good understanding just from dissecting that particular verse using the verse mapping method. And like I said, all of these, there are videos out there, there are blog posts, there are lots of material out there. There are even books that you can buy where they contain all this stuff and tell you how to do it. There's so much stuff out there. So there's no reason that we should not be opening our Bibles. Now, the next method I also discovered in 2020. Yeah, when we were under quarantine, I was in some heavy Bible study and I discovered all these different methods. And boy, I was like a kid at the candy store. And the inductive Bible study is a very, very, very in-depth Bible study. So that's something you got to have time for. It's not something that you're able to do every day. This is something that when you really have some time, you're on vacation, weekend, you know, it's something that you really need to have time to really get into, because it's very in-depth. Now, there are a few ministries that have their own type of version of the inductive Bible study. You have the Precepts. I think that's where it kind of started. I'm not too sure, but anyway. But they have their own version. The version that I like to use is the version from the Navigators. I really like their inductive Bible study method. And actually what this is, this particular method consists of three parts. There are, like I said before, many ministries that use this method, but some of them, you know, have added a few more steps than the three parts. Now, the three parts of an inductive Bible study, so that's the original inductive Bible study, is the first one is observation. So when you're reading your text, you need to read it over 3-4 times, or what, you know, whatever works for you. And as you read, observe what you're reading. And while you're reading, whatever you observe is good to jot it down. What do you see? So it causes you to like really, you know, because sometimes before I discovered all of these different methods, I mean, there are times I would read. I had my own method of Bible study. And sometimes when I look, it's a little bit of some of all of these things. Sometimes you could just read and just read. I guess I learned to go in depth when I started this podcast because I had to. So that was like 5 years ago. And I had my own method. But if you're not into Bible study method or like doing research for certain topics, you might just read. But when you kind of have like a method that you can follow, it really helps. So the inductive Bible study method, getting back to where I'm supposed to be, the first part is observation. What do you observe? Whatever you observe, whatever sticks out, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, whatever God is saying to you, you write it down. Then the second part is interpretation. Because sometimes we can read something word for word and we know how to read very well. But sometimes we're not always able to interpret it, especially sometimes with the King James Version, because you know they got that old King James type of English. And if English ain't your first language, you know, for many people, you might miss what the verse is trying to say. And even for some of us who can read, because yeah, I can read very well. Trust me. Don't worry. Don't let the accent fool you. I can read very well. I can understand English very well too. Even though I went to Dutch school, but yeah, I can read English very well. But sometimes, depending on what word is being used, it can just fly over my head. That's why also, like I was saying before, the Blue Letter Bible app, no, I'm not being paid to promote them. Any online Bible app that has an interlinear Bible tool really helps you to interpret what the word is trying, what certain words are trying to say. Like I was looking at a verse today. I think it was Deuteronomy 35:25. Where it was talking about recompense. Now, I have an idea what recompense is, but I at times I want to be sure what it means, you know? So you go and you break it down, because I could just open the Bible and just read it. And there's the word recompense. Okay. But then I close it. Okay. But what does that mean? I just read this chapter, but okay, well, what does the word mean? If I don't know what the word means, what's the point? And this particular scripture, I was feeding off of it. So if I'm feeding off of it, I need to know what it says. So I have to be able to interpret it. So that's what the I stands for, interpretation. And sometimes you could interpret by defining certain words that you don't quite understand, or like, you know, certain things that you can go and you can look up. Now, the third part of the inductive Bible study method is application. How do you apply whatever it is that you observed and you've interpreted? How can you apply it to your life? And that's always important, no matter what method you are using, is to know how can we apply God's word to our life. So the next method up is the topical method. Now, topical method, this helps you basically to do an in-depth study on a particular topic that you might be interested in. Joy, peace, grief, whatever your faith, joy, whatever your topic is. And depending on what type of Bible you may have, you can find probably a concordance at the back of your Bible that can help you with some of these topics, certain topics. Or you could just, you know, everyone has a phone, they have the internet. You can search Bible study topics, you know, just by typing in Google. And they'll give you a list of scriptures, you know? Or you can get a topical Bible. Knaves has a wonderful topical Bible. I have a wonderful topical Bible here. Very rare do I use it because yeah, I have the phone. Especially if you have one of those apps, whether Bible Gateway, eSword, Blue Letter Bible, you just put in your word and blep, it'll give you a ton of scriptures for whatever your topic that you want to do a study on, you know, and you just choose what version of the Bible that you would like to use, and voila, you're good to go. So that is the topical method. Now the next method is almost the same, and it's the word study method. Now the word study method, instead of a topic, you can study a word, whatever word you choose to study. You know, there are different types of words that might stick out that you just want to do a study on a particular word. You just do a word study. It was May. For the month of May, I did a word study. I took part in a word study challenge. And each day you had a different word and you would just break it down. And you would find like three different translations or three different verses with the same word. And you just break it down from there. And you would, you know, you would answer like, how can you apply whether it's all three or at least one of those verses. And it was really a great, great, great Bible study. It really was. And it was during a difficult time. But yeah, it was a great, great study. So the last one, before I share the other two that I recently found. Now, I never heard of this method until, I did not hear about this method until, I believe it was late March to early April. Never heard of it. But once I discovered it, I fell in love with it. And I think I use it like daily for an entire month. And like I said, I like to switch it up. I like to switch up my studies because depending on the type of time I have during the day, I might not be able to do a word study. And Monday to Friday, I ain't going to do a word study. On the weekends now, I'll do a word study. But maybe the following weekend, I don't want to do a word study. Maybe I just want to do an inductive study. Or I just want a verse map. I like to mix it up. But either way, I'll do an independent study. Now, this study is entitled The Seven Arrows Method. You're probably like, huh? At first, I was like, huh, myself. I love it. This particular method is really not as popularly known as some of the other methods. So a lot of times, if you were to do a search on Bible study methods, you would not see this come up at all. You would have to know that this exists to put in that name for it to come up. But not because it's hidden. It's a very, very, very good method. And it's also one of my favorite methods. Really and truly. And I do enjoy using it. I don't use it all the time. But I do enjoy whenever I do use it, I love it. So basically what it is, this method, which is the Seven Arrows method, was created by Pastor Matt Rogers of the Church of Cherrydale in Greenville, South Carolina. And basically it's a very simple and straightforward Bible study method. And it consists of seven questions that are used as arrows to help you with your Bible study. And basically, you can use these questions to help you to understand what you were reading. Like, for instance, the first question is, now, out of the seven questions, depending on what you're reading, you won't have answers for all seven. So you use, you know, what's relevant to whatever it is you're reading. But the first question is, what does the passage say? Now, that's a good question. How many times have you read something and it's like, okay, but you have no idea what it says. You just read it, but you don't know what it say. You don't know what it says. And by doing this, by answering these questions, it helps to stick with you. The second question is, what does the passage mean to its original audience? So a good way to answer this is to, who is the original audience? Like, who was this book written to? You know, who was it written for initially? I mean, we know all those books were written for a specific church, whether it's the Church of Thyatira, Thessalonica, what, you know. So it just depends who was the original audience of that particular message. So you would just answer according to who was the original audience at the time of the writing of that particular book or epistle, or which is a letter. Number three, what does the passage tell us about God? Which is a great question, because sometimes we just read, but we don't really absorb. And let's be real, sometimes we're so busy doing this, doing that, and we just read just to say, well, we read. And sometimes we read not just to say we read. We read because, you know, we want to read, but sometimes we don't remember what we read or understand what we have read. So these questions kind of make you think a little bit, like, exactly what is this particular passage telling me about God? And whatever it is it's telling you about God, you would answer. Now, there's no right or wrong answers here. Your answers are your answers. But the key is for you to look. In case you missed it, go back and look and see, okay, what is it that this passage is telling me about God or Christ? Now, the fourth question is, what does this passage tell us about man? Now, when I started this particular study, which book was I doing? Was it Nahum? I think it was Nahum. Might have been Nahum. Or Haggai. Was it Haggai? Probably Nahum. One of those small books. I can't remember which one now because I just can't remember. And at the time I was doing one of those books, and the answer to that question would be, well, what does the passage tell us about man? That the Syrians were wicked? I mean, I'm sorry, but it's the book that I was reading. So I was answering according to the book that I was reading. And also, they're good people. So let's keep that in mind too. Number five, what does this passage demand of me? Is it asking you to do something? Is it exhorting you to do something or not to do something? Number six, how does this passage change the way I relate to people? Now, a lot of times I was not able to answer that question because depending on what book I was, you know, reading or chapter or whatever, that question didn't often relate to the particular book that I might have been studying at the time. So you just skip it. Number seven, how does this passage prompt me to pray? You know, and you would just allow the Holy Spirit to guide you as to what in this particular passage or chapter is prompting me to pray. So, and you would pray accordingly. So these were some great questions to like really help you to, you know, get some depth and clarity as far as your Bible study time. And you can get this done like in 20 minutes. 20 minutes, 30 minutes maybe, depending, you know, if you want to take your time. But it, and you get so much out of it. Because also what you can do instead of maybe reading a whole chapter, like I know with the New King James Version, you know, you have it break, you know, they're kind of like broken down into sections. A chapter could have a section, okay, Jesus, in the Last Supper, and then the next section could be in the garden at Gethsemane when Peter and John, and then they were fast asleep. So, you know, you can break it up in sections, or you want to read the whole chapter. It's just up to you. But you could do this within 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, half an hour, you know, depending on your speed. But it's something that you could do, you know, when you don't have much time. It's something that you could do. And out of the seven, if you want to just answer maybe two questions and say, okay, I'm going to do two now and maybe I'll do the rest later, or I just want to focus on this two. At least it's like a guide to help you be able to like answer some of these questions and really get more out of your Bible study by answering some of these questions. And it's really great. Really, really, really great. Now, the last two that I discovered, I didn't discover the last, well, I knew of them, but hadn't had a chance to do them. So one is the sword Bible study method. Now I need to pull this up real quick because it consists, I think, like two or three questions. Let me pull it up real quick. Yeah, I should have done this before, right? But yeah, I was busy with work, so I did not have any time to do anything. So, yeah, here we go. Okay, so let me just... Right. Okay, so basically, the sword Bible study method is very easy also. And what it is a four question Bible study method. So let me just tell you what the questions are for the sword. And it's basically, it's the sword. And you have like four questions. It's very, very easy. Very one of the easiest methods. And you just ask yourself a couple, you answer some of the questions. Now, I do apologize. Lord help me. This one is not. Okay, there we go. Okay, so basically it's four questions. And the first question is, what do you learn about God? So whatever it is you're reading, whatever you're reading that particular day, what is it that you learn about God from that particular scripture or that particular chapter or those passages of scripture? So you would answer that question. Whatever it is that you learn about God, that's what you would answer for step one. Question one. Now, number two, the second question is, what do you learn about man? So if you notice good, it's kind of like some of the questions are almost similar to the questions in the seven arrows. What do you learn about man? And you would answer it based on what you learned about man in your reading. Now, number three, the question is there a sin to avoid, or a promise to claim, or a command to obey, or an example to follow? So basically, the question is there a speck? So the speck is just an acronym which means sin, promise, example, and command. So basically, you'd ask, is there a sin to avoid? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a command to obey, or is there an example to follow? So that would actually be your third question. Where's the fourth one? I could have sworn there was four. Maybe I'm losing my brain. Let's see. I do apologize, but yeah. It is four questions. Okay, she missing something. But anyway, let's see. What is the fourth one? Okay, this one will show me a little better. As soon as it can open up. Okay, let's see what it says. Yeah, okay. The four questions. This is much better. There are four questions. And you could even add an extra one. First one is, what do I learn about God? Second one, what do I learn about man? Three, is there an example to follow? And then four, is there a command to obey? So basically, those four questions. And you can read your chapter. And after you finish reading, you ask yourself these questions exactly. What did I learn about God? What did I learn about man? Is there an example to follow? Or is there a command to obey? Or a sin to avoid? So that is the sword method. Very easy. And something you could do every single day. Now the last one that I recently just finished, and boy, oh, it was so fulfilling. I've been meaning to do it. I've been meaning to do it at that level, but I've been doing it independently on my own, because at one point I used to do a segment for this podcast entitled The Heroes of Faith, or the heroines, depending whether it's a man or woman, of faith. So I had to do an in-depth character study. And this past weekend, I did an in-depth biographical, biblical character study on one of the women of the Bible that I will be sharing at some point. I believe it'll be done in next season. I'm not going to do it this season. It will be done next season. It will be recorded, but it will not be released until the following season, because yeah, I'll be taking a break. Well, not necessarily, but I will be catching up as far as typing up my notes and different things that I've done a whole lot. And I write a lot. I do a lot of studying, a lot of researching, and I have a lot of material, a whole lot. And I'm behind, because it's just me and I work. Also, you take it to the house and yeah, you're tired at times, and I'm not a spring chicken anymore. And like I said, this is a one man show. I'm the producer, the host, the researcher, the editor, everything. So it takes a lot of time. It really does. But it is worth its weight in gold from the knowledge that I receive while doing, the studies and the research. And it really is a true blessing. So I am thankful to God for that. So yeah, that's also another method. But of course, that's not something that you can do on a daily basis. That's something you definitely have to set aside some time on a weekend or a holiday or something and really do. And boy, I've been wanting to do a in-depth character study on this particular character. And Friday, I was not in the best place. Let's just put it that way, emotionally. Because yes, I am still grieving very much. And some days I'm okay. And some days it can be rough. And Friday was rough. But boy, when I went into that study, I came away, it really lifted my spirits. That's as much as I would say right there. It really lifted my spirits, and it gave me a whole nother look and take on my subject. And I truly thank God for this particular biblical heroine. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So basically that is that is it for right now as far as my seven, which I've added two more, so that's kind of like nine, Bible study methods that I truly, truly love, and I love to switch them up. Now, to find out more information on these various Bible study methods that I have mentioned today, you can check, you can just go do a Google search. There are videos out there on YouTube. There are books, that you can even buy that'll show you. You can do a Google search, like I said, if you're interested. And there are loads of information out there, really and truly. And there's also this wonderful book that you can pick up, and it's under $10. And it's entitled How to Study the Bible, and it's by Robert West. And you can purchase it from any bookstore. Well, online, of course. You can't walk into a physical brick and mortar and find it, and that's so sad. But you can order it online. It's under $5, actually. And it's really, really good. I had the opportunity to order one for someone as a gift, and it was really, really great. Really great. It kind of breaks down the different methods of Bible study. It did have the SOAP, but any other acronym Bible study it didn't have. But it did have the SOAP method. There's so much. Oh, and there's also the devotional method. That's another method that I also do as well from time to time. And, there are just so many things out there that there is no reason that we should not be opening our Bibles. We can't wait until they start taking Bibles. We can't wait until we're on our deathbed and then you're trying to, it's not a bad time. Let's start doing it now, so that way we don't end up on the deathbed before our time. Premature death. It's very important that we know the word and how to stay strong, because these days you're going to need it. You're going to need it to fight the enemy. You're going to need it to stand strong. Now, the next episode, I am going to cover some of my favorite light, quiet time methods that I use. So this is going to be the light, quiet time method that I like to use when you're really busy and you can't really go in deep, but you need to get a little something that will help you, kind of stay connected to the Lord throughout the day. Now, it's not just great for those days when you're short on time. It's also great for a quick evening or weekend quiet time with the Lord. Or as I love to say, the love of my life. Because, he's the one that loves me. Good, bad, or indifferent. He loves me. And I truly enjoy being able to steal away with him. Like this Saturday, I was finishing up the biographical character study, and boy, I was there like for about 3 hours. But let me tell you, especially down in my quiet time space, I get lost at that desk. I'm telling you, it's like, and I'm so thankful that I am able to do that, because there's gonna be a time we ain't gonna be able to do it. So now is the time. And I like slipping away, whether it be for a few minutes. But boy, when I can slip away for them couple of hours, Lord. When I come away from there, especially from those deep studies, oh my goodness. I don't know what to say, boy. It's really good, seriously speaking. And with those methods, you are definitely going to want to get cozy every moment that you can. And what I like to do, I enjoy grabbing myself a nice hot cup of tea, coffee, or like it's hot now, you get something, cold. And what I also like to do, especially like if it's in the evenings, on the weekends, of course, I like to bake myself something. And like the other day, I made some nice blueberry muffins, and I'm not a fan of blueberry muffins, but boy, they were good. And you just have it a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and just sit there with some soaking worship music or a nice Christian podcast, and you just get lost in the word and just get lost with God and his word. I am so thankful that I have the privilege to be able to do so. I really am thankful. I am truly thankful. But yes, So basically, that's it for this episode. So up next is going to be the quote of the episode. Okay, so this episode's quote is, "The person who has not learned that every wind that blows can be used to guide us toward heaven has certainly not mastered the art of sailing and is nothing but an apprentice." Now that was powerful. And of course, it was taken from my favorite devotional, Streams in the Desert, August 30th. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to dive into your word. Thank you for your word that you have given us, that we are able to stand upon it and to live according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, I'd like to thank you for joining me on another episode of the Words of Encouragement podcast. I do hope and pray that you have got something out of this episode, as well as this podcast series. And if you have, please feel free to share it with others. Remember that the gospel is free. It does not cost a thing. You can listen to the Words of Encouragement podcast on Spreaker.com, Podomatic.com, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, CastBox, Deezer, Podtail, and wherever podcasts can be heard. Please also feel free to check out my other podcast, which is entitled The Nuggets of Thankfulness Podcast, which is a devotional podcast, by the way, which I have not recorded an episode in a while, and I need to catch up. But nevertheless, we have some wonderful episodes over there. You can take a listen. It can also be heard on Spreaker.com, Podomatic.com, Google Podcasts, Podtail, and everywhere that podcasts can be heard. If you like, you can also check out my blog at www.arlena.flanders@wordpress.com. Haven't written nothing in a while, but there's some stuff over there. And you can also check out my digital Bible study bundles at affordable prices. All sales help with the cost of running the podcast. You can also find the links to my stores in the description box. If you would like to contact me, feel free to contact me at spearandjavelin777@gmail.com. Remember, as long as there is life, it is never too late to accept Christ. Be blessed. See you next time.